and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas of Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through his belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. La misericordia de Dios no es magia o mágico. Esto es muy importante. Si no entendemos esto, entonces perderemos todo el sentido, no solo de la fiesta de la iglesia celebrada este domingo, sino todo el evangelio, de todo lo que Jesús dijo y hizo y todavía hace por nosotros hoy. Mercy, you see, it's not magic. This is very, very important. If we don't understand this part, then we'll miss the whole point, not just of the feast that the church keeps today, but of the whole of the gospel, of everything that Jesus ever said and did, and what he still does for us today. I once caught a woman trying to break into the church in the middle of the night. When I asked her what she was doing, she told me she wanted holy water. When I asked her why she wanted the holy water in the middle of the night, she admitted that she was a witch, and she cast a spell on her mother, and now her mom was acting weird, and she thought maybe the holy water would help. When I asked her why, if she was a witch, and she cast a spell on her mother, she thought our holy water would be the answer, when clearly she didn't believe in Jesus, at least in the way we do, and therefore what the holy water would represent, she looked at me like I was the dumbest kid she'd ever met. And she said, "Well, Father, everybody knows Your magic's better than our magic. She was right, of course. Our magic is much better than their magic, at least in the sense that the sacraments and the sacramentals of the church have real power. And that supernatural power that we call sanctifying grace is no spell cast by a witch or a warlock. There's no sacrifice that could equal what we do at this altar. She was wrong, though, to think of it as magic. Not simply because that's not the right word, like she got the wrong answer in the confirmation class, but because magic is fundamentally mechanical. It's superstition, witchcraft, pagan worship, the occult, all of it, all those things the church tells us not to do isn't just so we can't enjoy horror movies. These are all exercises of control. I say these words, I perform these actions, I cast this spell, and then someone falls in love with me, or I get the job that I really want, or my house finally sells. That's a very different thing than I call a priest, he comes over and hears grandma's confession, lays his hands on her and anoints her with oil, and then not only is she strengthened by the grace of the sacrament, not only does she begin to suffer better, but she actually gets better. It's even different than praying to St. Joseph and then burying a statue on your property. Because then I consecrate my life and my home and my future to God's care, to the prayers of St. Joseph, not to my ability to manipulate reality. And then in God's time, the house sells. The pagan attempts to placate their gods and control the future, but the Christian relies totally on God's providence and trusts God to provide the graces necessary to be who we are called to be. Puede resultar tentador tratar los sacramentos y sacramentales de la Iglesia como magia cristiana. Si uso este escapulario o guardo este medalla milagrosa, cuando muera iré directamente al cielo. Incluso si no he hecho una buena confesión o realmente arrepentido de mis pecados, incluso si me perdí cada oportunidad de recibir o comulgar la Santa Comunión, o si bautizo a mi bebé, al menos no irá al infierno si muere, pero la primera comunión o la confirmación, esas cosas puedan esperar. Realmente no necesito ir a la misa todas las semanas ni confesarme con regularidad para tener una relación de Dios. Eso es, por supuesto, cierto. Puedes tener una relación con Dios sin recibir los sacramentos, pero no será una muy buena relación si Dios te ofrece constantemente el don de la gracia y la misericordia, y tú lo rechazas constantemente. Tal como te gustaría tener una relación con Dios. Su cónyuge, o su hijo, o su padre que vive en su casa, aunque nunca coman juntos y nunca salgan juntos y rara vez hablen, simplemente no será una muy buena relación. Si el paganismo es un error en una dirección porque intenta controlar o manipular los acontecimientos del futuro, entonces el emocionalismo o el sentimentalismo es el error que va a la otra dirección. Dice, de todos modos, no podemos controlar nada, así que hagamos lo que podamos para asegurarnos de sentirnos bien o seguros. Esa persona podría bautizar a su hijo, pero como no cree el bautismo realmente sirva de mucho, espera 2 o 3 años para hacerlo, reteniendo la gracia salvadora de los sacramentos y los dones de la fe, la esperanza y la caridad, solo para que nosotros pueda tener el tipo correcto de fiesta o asegurarme de que estén presentes los miembros correctos de la familia o regresar al lugar donde fui bautizado para que podamos decir que lo hicimos. ese niño vuelve a aparecer 20 o 30 años después y quiere confirmarse para poderse casarse y no encuentran una sola persona en su familia que los apadrine en la fe. ¿Por qué? Porque la familia nunca lo tuvo. Todo lo que tuvieron fueron sentimientos. See, the temptation can be to treat the sacraments and the sacramentals of the church as though they're just Christian magic. If I wear this scapular or keep this miraculous medal on me, when I die, I'll go straight to heaven. Even if I haven't made a good confession in years, even if I'm not really sorry for my sins, even if I deliberately miss opportunities to receive Holy Communion. Or if I have my baby baptized, then at least they won't go to hell if they die. But First Communion, confirmation, those things, they can wait. I don't really need to go to Mass each week, Father, or confess any time often to have a real relationship with God. And that is, of course, true. You can and will have a relationship with God without ever receiving the sacraments, but it won't be a very good relationship if God is constantly offering you the gift of His grace and you are constantly rejecting it, or at least ignoring it. Just like you can have a real relationship with your spouse or your kid or your parents because you live in the same house, even though you never talk to each other or have dinner or hang out. It just won't be a very good relationship. Now, if paganism is the mistake in one direction because it tries to control or manipulate the world, then emotionalism or feelingism would be the mistake on the other side of it. We can't control anything anyway, so let's just do what we can to make sure we feel good or safe or secure. This person might well baptize their child, but because they don't think the baptism really does much of anything, they'll wait 2 or 3 years to do it, withholding the saving grace of the sacraments for months or years on end. And all that comes with the grace of the sacraments, like faith and hope and charity, just so that we can, whatever, have the right kind of party, or make sure the right family members or friends are there, or go back to the church where I was baptized so that we can say that 3 generations did there, or something like that. That kid shows up 10 or 20 or 30 years later trying to get married or confirmed or something else, and they can't find a single person in their family to sponsor them in the faith. You know why? Because the family never had it to begin with. All they had were feelings. Kiddos, the most important promises of your whole life, more important even than the vows you'll say at your wedding or the promises you'll make when you're ordained or made a religious brother or sister, the most important promises of your life were made before you could ever speak. Your parents and your godparents, for whatever reason, brought you to the church for holy baptism. And for whatever reason, somewhere along the way, things got bungled up with the schedule. Maybe there are good reasons for that. There probably are. This is not a judgment-y homily. It's not intended that way. It's just meant to force us to look at our consciences. But today, as you present yourselves now for confirmation and for First Holy Communion, you're old enough that you got to do something. See, you're capable now of committing a mortal sin. You can do bad in such a way that separates you from God and from the rest of us. That's why we made you go to confession yesterday or in the last couple of weeks, before I confirm you. But today, before I confirm you, I will ask you and then the whole assembly to renew, to remake those promises of your baptism. I'll ask you to renounce Satan and all his promises and all the empty things he does to confuse us. And I'll ask you to commit yourself again to God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to his church and to the Holy Spirit that lives in her. And it means that you're promising to come to Mass on Sunday and to confess regularly. Why? Because God is making all of his graces available to you today. And he makes those graces available every single day and especially every single Sunday right here at the altar. If you fail to take advantage of them, then you need to make things right with God. That is, if you sin, you need to go to confession to reset that relationship. And that same thing is as true for me as it is for you. And those mistakes or errors or things that muck up things along the way are as true for me as they are for you, as they are for everyone in this church, which is why wherever we've been and whatever we've done, we're simply trying to start new. Now, admittedly, today, confirmation is a kind of a weird sacrament in the church. A lot of us have this idea that confirmation is about adulthood in the church or Christian maturity. You'll be adult from now on when you're confirmed. That is obviously a lie. Most of you are nowhere near adults. And in much of the world, children are confirmed as infants right after baptism. It's fundamentally a Protestant idea. And the reason that's bad is not because it's Protestant, but because the Protestants said confirmation isn't a sacrament. Well, if they're wrong about that, why would we listen to them about what it means? For us, confirmation is something totally different. Confirmation is a real sacrament. And that sacrament changes us from the inside out. You do not confirm yourselves today. Christ confirms you through my hands and by the authority of our bishop. Eso es por eso que Dios nos reúne para celebrar el sacrificio de misericordia en la fiesta de divina misericordia. La mayoría de nosotros, habiendo el sacramento de la misericordia en confesión en los días pasados, y listos y capaces de cambiar el recibir el alimento o dones de la misericordia en la Santa Comunión. Porque, como nos dice Santo Tomás, la misericordia es el nombre más verdadero de Dios. That's Tomás de Aquino. After you have been anointed and sealed, after you've been set apart for the particular grace that God has in store for you, I will repeat the words of Jesus to us today in the gospel. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And this is different than the greeting we use at Mass, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." That's a reflection of the Lord's presence on the altar. But this is a statement of reality. Having been sealed with Christ's Holy Spirit, having been given the gift of God's seal on your hearts, you are now able to be peaceful in a way you were not before. Rather, this is the peace of Christ that endures, and that endures forever. And it can't be disrupted by anything but sin. The peace you receive today is the gift of the risen Jesus alone. And that is the fruit that we come to know in every experience of his mercy.